This is ArtCore, your gateway to the fine arts in Christchurch.
Hi, I'm Justin Patton. I'm Senior Curator at Christchurch Art Gallery, Te Puna o Waiwhetu, and I'm about to read you something from my book, How to Look at a Painting, published by Awa Press. One Big Painting. We have no trouble revering painters who are comfortably removed from our own time. Rembrandt, Piero, Leonardo, great, great, great. But what happens to the greatness idea when we hit the 20th, the 21st century? Does it still hold? Who decides? What does a great modern painting look like? For an answer, come with me to Canberra and a room on the upper level of the National Gallery of Australia to see a huge painting called Victory Over Death 2 by New Zealand artist Colin McCann. McCann is one of those painters whose work can scarcely be mentioned without stereotypes stepping in to obscure it. The first is the stereotype of the modern painter as a merchant of difficulty and in-your-face ugliness. When Victory Over Death 2 was gifted to the people of Australia and its government in 1978, New Zealand Prime Minister Robert Muldoon is reported to have said he didn't think we disliked the Australians that much. You can still bump into people who feel perplexed and infuriated by McCann's big word paintings of the 1970s. It's the old but seemingly undying problem faced by modern art. The suspicion the artist isn't offering something but taking something away, that a con is about to occur. When people fear they're going to be mocked, they often rush to get their own mockery in first. The second stereotype, and the one we hear most of today, is that of McCann the icon. He's New Zealand's greatest, the one who'll bring the country's art to world attention. He's our Van Gogh, neglected in life, acclaimed too late. He's the subject of documentaries, poems, homages, Oedipal tributes, academic symposia, a 1997 stamp issue, and hectares of written commentary. It's no coincidence that when Peter Jackson and Costa Boats made their mockumentary film Forgotten Silver about a long-lost New Zealand movie maker, they called their cultural hero Colin McKenzie. Both of these stereotypes zoom in on the artist and make the paintings hard to see. Here in the National Gallery of Australia, though, Victory Over Death 2 is impossible not to see. The white iamb booms from its wide black backdrop, legible at, oh, a kilometre at least. Stray white sentences drift around it, like the smoke trails fireworks leave hanging in the sky. As big as a billboard and hung loose, the painting has a rough urgency that's thrown into contrast by the cool frosted glass and polished floors of the gallery, not to mention the science fictional tidiness of central Canberra. In 1970, most New Zealand painting took place on standard sheets of fibreboard that fitted nicely above the couch. But when McCann painted this colossal work, he was looking to shake asunder the old idea of painting as something framed and static to be taken in from one point of view. Victory Over Death 2 looks ready to be taken down and hoisted up at its next venue, like the backdrop for a spiritual roadshow. Does painting matter? It's one of those questions that first-year art students love, and people who spend a lot of time around art quietly set to one side to maintain working sanity. McCann refused to set the question aside. He believed painting mattered all right, but he also knew that the way to keep it mattering was to keep testing its claims to relevance. Here was an artist fluent in the visual language of abstract art, but who wanted his art to reclaim some of the force of the ages-old religious art he knew and loved. He wanted to communicate, but found himself working at a time when other media had muscled painting to the edges of the public stage, and when a newly ebullient art market had begun to treat all art as two-dimensional real estate. Once, he said, the painter was making signs and symbols to live by. Now he makes things to hang on walls at exhibitions. Still, what a thing he came up with in Victory Over Death 2, a big banner of a work that looks like little else in painting before or since. Like the old religious painters, he didn't invent new stories but retold old ones, and here he homes in on a brief mysterious moment in the New Testament book John, when Jesus, not long after calling Lazarus from the tomb, foresees his destiny on the cross and calls for reassurance from God. It's a story about belief and doubt, spiritual vocation, and the need for leaps of faith. But of course the story is not where the painting ends, only where it begins. It's a prompt, a launch pad, a jumping-off point for McCann's big meditation on light and dark. The only way to miss the enormous white I am would be to wear a blindfold. But the experience of the painting really begins to the left, in the stretch of blackness that opens this work. Standing here is like waiting in a suddenly darkened room. Things start to declare their shapes at the edges of your vision. There are different weights of black, and several places where it's possible to see painted out words, including, looming in the darkness, an enormous version of the bright white am that appears later in the painting. The effect is subtle and simple. It turns what looked like a proclamation into an engulfing question, am I? So already this work is saying, look closely, adjust your eyes, don't trust first appearances. McCann is trying to put us inside the state of doubt that Jesus inhabits. There are no faces here, only words. It's McCann's most daring tactic, the one that earned him the highest praise and the nastiest put-downs. Reading each part, we're pulled into it. Now my soul is in turmoil, and what have I to say? This is Jesus speaking, and what matters is not just what he says, but how the artist's brush renders it. As McCann paints each line, the intensity of the white paint comes and goes, like the pulse of light on a heart monitor. It's a beautifully simple way of depicting the human voice, as a lifeline moving through the darkness, or perhaps as breathing in and out. Jesus speaks again at the top of the painting, aiming his voice up high. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice sounded from heaven, and then the big event. A column of white splits the painting from top to bottom like a thunderclap. It's the eye of I Am, the voice of God coming down to earth. On paper, this sounds a bit bossy and fundamentalist. The artist is an ad man for God, and you could be excused for backpedaling a bit. You're here for art, right? Not a sermon. But as with so many things about Victory Over Death 2, the painting tells a richer story. When you go up close and examine the eye, the white isn't flat and emphatic, but full of depths and movement, like clouds seen from an aeroplane window. And this creates a beautiful reversal. The eye no longer reads as a solid form dropped into the darkness, but as a vent or gate or cargo door opening. So we're faced not with a declamation but an invitation, a way through, out or down, the opening for a leap of faith. McCann made theatre sets as a young man and always thought of paintings as spaces you could vicariously clamber through. The result is one of those marvellous moments of poetic liftoff that McCann regularly achieved. The brushwork looks so casual, so free of contrivance or fuss, you're left wondering whether any artist ever did more with less. But there's no time to stand around admiring McCann's painterly technique, because no sooner has the big eye made itself heard than we hear the chatter of doubt. Other voices pipe up, like rubberneckers at the scene of an accident. The crowd standing by said it was thunder, while others said an angel has spoken to him. Then Jesus speaks again. Trust to the light, that you must become men of light. And then the big white am strides off, as grand as a giant power pylon. When we look at any painting, we're in a zone where everything ought to count. I had always been puzzled by how scrubby and slapped on McCann's brushwork becomes at the right-hand end of the painting. Help came in Canberra in the form of a visiting school group, art students, I guessed, who plunked themselves down in front of the painting earlier in the day, as if they were doing it a favour. When the teacher quizzed them on differences between McCann's work and a nearby landscape by Australian artist Fred Williams, one of them replied, with the talent for sarcasm that comes to young humans between the ages of 13 and 17, the other one was finished. It does look unfinished, right down to the way the final M steps free of the black border that frames the rest of the painting. What this does is jolt us out of the biblical story and back into the world of the painter. It's as if we've caught the painting just before completion, with the pots of acrylic still open on the floor, the paint still wet, the border unfinished, and the artist off in a nearby room rolling a cigarette. We're also back in the world of fruit stall sign writing, small town graffiti, messages chalked onto blackboards, protest placards, the ordinary forms of painted communication that McCann loved for their casual directness. It's as if he's saying, yes, no matter how high they aim, all paintings are human efforts, brave and rickety, pieced together from what's at hand. When art dealer Peter McLeavy showed the work in a room of his small gallery on Wellington's Cuba Street in 1972, he had to hang it around two walls. To enter his stockroom, McLeavy had to clamber under the work, as though it were the side of a tent. Imagine yourself in McLeavy's small gallery with that big painting wrapped right around. It's a lovely image. The painting has big top. And it brings something else important to the fore, which is the way victory over death too never really comes to an end. The emphatic I am and the doubting am I are always circling each other. McCann puts doubt and faith on an endless loop and places us at its centre. Far from being a pronouncement from on high, victory over death too is the setting for a personal drama that each new viewer is invited to act out. And at the heart is that amazing zone of white, big enough for an adult to step through. A great painting? Yes, but not in the gilt-edged auction catalogue sense. It's great because the size of its ambition is matched by the intensity of its doubts about what a painting can do, about whether greatness is even available today. It's great, above all, in the sense that you might call someone great-hearted, made with a generous spirit. McCann threw everything he had at this work. When Victory Over Death 2 was gifted to Australia, letter writers and cartoonists on both sides of the Tasman had their fun. McCann wrote to Peter McLeavy, "But you know, if this sort of thing didn't happen, I would know I was dead. I'm getting just what I ask for, a reaction, and those who have eyes do see. Painting is aimed at the guts and heart. Seeing is not only eyesight. The Lazarus story is to me one of the truly great stories about seeing. All those people saw as never before." Today, when painting tends to be associated less with matters of life and death than with lifestyles, that kind of directness is unsettling, even embarrassing. Who has time, we might object. And it's true, no one is obliged to look at paintings. But here at the National Gallery of Australia, McCann's big statement, which is really a big question, feels as unswervable as a haka. You've been listening to a reading from the book How to Look at a Painting by Justin Patton, published by AWA Press.
Tune into ArtCore every Tuesday and Saturday morning on RDU 98.5 FM to find out what's happening in the Christchurch art scene.